tired of spills and stains on your sofa? Wash away your worries with Anabe. Anabe is the only machine washable sofa inside and out where designer quality meets budget-friendly prices. That's right, sofas start at just $699. Enjoy a no-risk experience with pet-friendly, stain-resistant, and changeable slip covers made with performance fabric. Experience cloud-like comfort with high-resilience foam that's hypoallergenic and never needs fluffing. The sturdy steel frame ensures longevity, and the modular pieces can be rearranged anytime. Shop washablesofas.com for early Black Friday savings, up to 60% off site-wide, backed by a 30-day satisfaction guarantee. If you're not absolutely in love, send it back for a full refund. No return shipping or restocking fees. Every penny back. Upgrade now at washablesofas.com. Offers are subject to change and certain restrictions may apply.
I'm John Betzer. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm with Gregory Copley, my editor and publisher, and my mentor of defense and foreign affairs. He is in Yokosuka, the naval port associated with Tokyo Bay. The Japanese Self-Defense Forces and the U.S. Navy are all around him. We're speaking of the inaugural address and remarks about allies, Mexico, Canada, the Canal Zone. Now we go to neither allies nor enemies, West Africa. In this last year, we've seen consistent takeover is too strong a word, preponderance of military and state security efforts replacing what was argued to be democracy in three Francophone states. That would be Burkina Faso, Niger, and Mali. We also see ECOWAS, which is chaired and led by Nigeria, an Anglophone state, watch this and not intervene in some fashion that was effective. Right now, what we have is Africa in... Gregory, what is the correct metaphor for where Africa is today? It's not about democracy anymore. It's not about dictatorship. Where is it?
Africa is now back looking after Africa because nobody else is. So that means that, if you like, one way of looking at it positively is to say that the African nation states are now free, more or less, to do what they want to in terms of trade or construction of their sovereignty and the like, in terms of dictating the shape and style of their governance. And this is going to involve a long process of change, which will include a lot of changes of boundaries. But the People's Republic of China, which in a sense grasped at the vacuum created when the colonial powers, Britain, France, and then in a trading sense, the United States, withdrew all interest from Africa. So the African states are now in a position to start sorting themselves out, and that's going to involve a lot of pain. The structures which were set up to, if you like, regulate a change and or stabilize the continent, initially the Organization for African Unity, which became the African Union, ECOWAS, the Economic Community of West African States, and several others, these regional or sub-regional organizations of states, basically are declining in their ability to control the situation. Witness the final efforts of Niger, Burkina Faso, and Mali to evict the French military presence and ultimately to reject the French ability to control their currencies with franc-dependent currencies. We're also seeing other countries, Francophone countries, such as Chad, looking to review its relationship with Paris. This is going to be a major setback for France, and it will have a huge economic cost for France. We're also seeing other countries in ECOWAS, such as Sierra Leone, falling into absolute tyranny, and that was despite the elections there. But the whole situation means that ECOWAS has become relatively meaningless now. And you've got a couple of the big West African viable states, Ghana and Nigeria in particular, being left alone to sort things out. And Ghana just has a new president, and Nigeria has a troubled presidency because of the irregularity of the elections a couple of years ago, and the Nigerian economy, although it's the biggest in Africa, is in many respects failing. The Naira is an unstable currency. So we're going to see Africa going through a sorting out on its own terms, and this ends, or we're seeing the end of, in a sense, the couple of hundred years or 300 or so years of colonialism, and a move back to autonomy. That means that a lot of the subnational entities, like in Nigeria, you've got 750 or so separate tribal and linguistic divisions, which theoretically could all become separate independent states. That won't happen, of course, but what you will see some groups breaking apart. Will it be northern Nigeria against southern and south-south Nigeria breaking into, say, three or four states? We don't know at this stage, but it's Africa is back on its own, and the global economy is in such poor shape that it does not require some of the raw materials which Africa has in abundance. Yes, there'll be a lingering demand for some of the products which go into electric motors, electric batteries, rather, for the automobile industry and other things and space programs and the like. But frankly, that's something which can be dealt with on a case-by-case basis rather than on the old approach of trying to make Africa into a mirror image of the Westphalian structure of nation states, which the West has adopted.
The jihadists, what place do they have in Africa's present and future? They're operating in different states at different levels. ISIS and al-Qaeda both with surrogates.
That's correct. There are variations on that theme all the way up and down the line. And a lot of the jihadism or Islamic anger, if you like, in Africa is based on things which are not religious. They're based on economic deprivation, the destruction of traditional societies by the lack of water flow in the Niger Basin, Niger River Basin, for example. So it's we tend to think of these things as being internationally supported Islamic or jihadism, and to a degree that's been true. But there is a self-sustaining locus for these movements as well, even if you removed the importance of particularly the Turkish government in supporting these movements or the Iranian government in supporting these movements. There's still a lot of cause for insurrection throughout much of Africa, and that's leading to this turmoil and changing the status of many of the nation states in the continent. Some of them will master the modern form of the nation state and make it work for them, but others won't. Now, what we see with those three main Francophone states, Niger, Burkina Faso, and Mali, is that they're sort of working together to try to build up a viable modus vivendi, trying to deal with foreign organizations wanting the resources of those countries, particularly Russia, I might add. And so they're trying to work it out, but it's not going to be on Western democratic lines. And most of these states have said in any event that if democracy is what we see playing out in Western Europe and North America right now, then it's not the democracy they believe they'd been sold by the West over the past 100 years.
Quickly about Russia in Africa. Chiefly it's used soldiers of fortune, mercenaries, they have relations with all three of those Francophone states. Is that a major effort on Russia's part, or are they looking where the money is?
It is a significant effort on Russia's part, largely because Russia is anxious to control a lot of the gold production in Africa and is literally working to build the gold reserves of Russia. And Russia's gold reserves are among the highest in the world. You've got, I'd say, Russia, the United States, and the People's Republic of China with the three greatest repositories of gold. And this is very important for the stabilization of their economies going forward. So Russia has a big stake in this. The so-called mercenary companies, which are now being operated by Russia, and also by the Turkish government, were also, of course, in evidence by the U.S. with the Blackwater operations. This is a private mercenary company as well, or a private military contractor. And they were doing a lot of work of this nature to secure the political objectives of their arm's length governments.
I'm speaking to Gregory Koppel of Defense and Foreign Affairs. We're talking about Africa, as Gregory says, going on its own, neither adversary nor ally in the contest in the North Temperate Zone. We're going to turn to one particular ally adversary when we come back with our King Charles report. Good things about King Charles, but mystery about the new Prime Minister, Mr. Starmer.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
Hey, it's Boxer.
And I'm Sarah Towns with Experience Columbus.
Did you know Columbus is home to the number one science museum in the country?
Ranked number 7 on Food & Wine's list of America's next great food cities.
And one of Condé Nast Traveler's top 10 best big cities in America.
Yes, Columbus. An Experience Columbus podcast keeps you in the know about what's happening in the Arch City.
Binge, listen to all the current episodes.
Or catch up on all things Columbus and discover what makes this city so special.
By the end, you'll be asking yourself, can all of this really exist in one city?
Yes, Columbus.
What if your drive was fueled with more? Shell V-Power Nitro Plus Premium Gasoline gives you more protection, more power, and more performance with every drive across Columbus. It's a fuel like no other, removing up to 100% of performance-robbing deposits to rejuvenate your engine's performance. Shell V-Power Nitro Plus Premium Gasoline. Get more performance with every drive. Compared to lower octane fuels and gasoline direct injection engine fuel injectors, actual effects and benefits may vary according to vehicle type, driving conditions, and driving style.
Hey, it's me, your heart. Mind if I pick the next song? Listen, even though we're eating better, people who've had one heart attack are at higher risk of another. But Repatha Evolocumab plus a statin lowers LDL-C, our bad cholesterol, and our heart attack risk. So let's talk to our doctor about Repatha.
Do not take Repatha if you're allergic to it. Serious allergic reactions can occur. Get medical help right away if you have trouble breathing or swallowing, swelling of the face, lips, tongue, throat, or arms. Common side effects include runny nose, sore throat, common cold symptoms, flu or flu-like symptoms, back pain, high blood sugar, and redness, pain, or bruising at the injection site. View the important safety information in our banner. Listen to your heart. Ask your doctor about Repatha.